Genesis 26. Isn't it great to live here? Aren't you glad you live here? I mean, besides the pollen, all right? It's a great place. It's a great country. We are not, however, exempt from hard times. I wouldn't want to live anywhere but America. But understand something, there's some hard times. If you've been watching and paying attention, you notice that things are changing. Things have changed. And, you know, we celebrate the idea that we are beyond COVID and all those restrictions, but here we are in the midst of wars and rumors of wars. The saber rattling, as they say. The price of fuel, which, by the way, affects the price of everything else. And, you know, we think about it in terms of what we're paying for fuel, but all the stuff that gets to the grocery store comes by a truck. And so it's going to affect us in a very deep way. Hard times. And a lot of times people think, well, since I got saved, I'm not supposed to have any hard times. That's just not accurate. That's not accurate. We're going to have hard times. The world has hard times, and we are not exempt. And in the book of Genesis, the Bible says in chapter 26, verse 1, there was a famine in the land beside the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. Isaac went to Abimelech, king of the Philistines, to Gerar. So there was a famine in the land, in Abraham's land, in the promised land. How could there be a famine in the promised land, in God's country? How could there be hard times? How could there be a famine? Well, there was. We're not exempt. We suffer sickness, death, loss of other loved ones, aggravation, financial destruction. We face all the same things that everybody else faces. The difference that God has given is the way in which we deal with it. Do we have the peace that passes understanding? Do we have confidence in God that all things work together for good to those that love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose? We may not see it. A lot of things in life, we don't see how this could be a benefit, but God said He could turn it into a benefit. He could turn it to good, and so we have to trust Him. Now Isaac is living in the promised land, and things get bad, and what does he decide to do? He says, well, I'm going to go somewhere. I'm going to find some water. I'm going to go find some place where I can take my cattle, and I'm going to move into a better land. Well, by God's gift, he owned all of it, even though other people occupied it. And so the Lord appeared to him in verse 2 and said, go not down to Egypt. Why did God have to tell him that? Because that's what people did. That's what they just automatically run to Egypt. They just keep wandering and think there's got to be some place. It's got to be better than it is here. And so they just wandered on down there. And God puts up the block and he says, don't go there. Look at what he says. Dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of. Isaac sought sanctuary. He looked for hope in a different land with a different people. He thought, if I could just go somewhere else, it'll be better. I've seen people that'll leave Tallahassee because they think the opportunity is greater in some other state. And while they're driving their U-Haul to that other state, they pass a Penske truck that's coming to Tallahassee. What happens? In other words, opportunity is where you are. You have to make of it what you want of it and look to God for instruction and direction. And God said, Isaac, I don't want you running down to Egypt. I want you to stay here. But Isaac had already relocated himself to Gerar among the Philistines. And God said, I'll use you here. Don't go anywhere else. Don't leave. Stay here. Guys, we need to learn to not look for our hope in somewhere else. My salvation is based on one, and that is Jesus Christ. By the way, it's not based on Derek. It's based on Jesus. He died for my sins. His blood was shed to wash away my sins, not to cover them, like we talked about in Sunday school, covering. No, to cleanse me of all unrighteousness according to the word of God. So my sins are forgiven because I put my trust in him and asked forgiveness. And if you don't know that, you say, well, I'm trusting baptism. Baptism won't save you. Church membership won't save you. Good deeds won't save you. Donations won't save you. The only thing that will save us is putting our trust in Jesus Christ. And if you haven't done that, do it now. Don't wait till the end of the service. Do it now. Pray. God, forgive my sins. God, I trust in you. I know I'm a sinner, and I know Jesus gave himself a sacrifice for me. Don't wait. Put your trust in him. We start trusting in the land, and grass is greener on the other side. And well, if I'll go over there, then they'll take care of me and they'll help me out. And I've got friends over there. And so we start looking in other places for the answers, other places for our refuge. Our refuge is in God. That's not to say that God never moves us. He does. But let's make sure we're not putting our confidence in the world and in man, but in God. Verse number 3, sojourn in this land. Stay where you are, and I will be with thee, and will bless thee, for unto thee and to thy seed I will give all these countries. I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham thy father. He said, I made a promise to your father, and I'm going to keep it. Hey, does it matter to my children how I live with God, how I walk with God? It matters. It matters. Number one, what they see, the example in my walk with God. But number two, God blessed Isaac based on the relationship that God had with Abraham. And that continued. Look, there were times down the road where he said, because of your father, David, because of your father. And so the relationship that I have with God is going to, say, trickle down, it's going to help my children and maybe my children's children if I ever have any of those. And so it just trickles down. But my walk with God is what matters. It matters not just to me, but to them. It matters. Verse number 4, I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven, and will give unto thy seed all these countries, and thy seed shall all nations of the earth be blessed. It's going to make a difference. Isaac's not looking for great promises, is he? He's just looking to survive. That's how a lot of people are today. We're just looking to survive. We're just trying to make it through the weekend. Just trying to make it through the week. Just trying to make it through the month. Just trying to make it, you know, to the end of this paycheck. Whatever it is, we've got very short-term vision. And Isaac has short-term vision. And a lot of people don't look what's going to happen 5 or 10 years down the road. Again, it's hard for us to tell what's going to happen 5 or 10 years down the road. Things have happened in the last year or two we never would have anticipated in each individual life. But we've got to have a long-term vision and keep our eyes on Jesus and trust in him and have a bigger goal and a bigger idea. Our faith matters. Our walk with God matters. God told Isaac, stay where you are. Don't you run off to California. Don't you run off to Tennessee. Right? Don't you run off across the country because, it'll be better over there. No, he said, I put you where you are. If you go to Tennessee, let me know. I'll go with you. Verse 12. Then Isaac sowed in that land, and he received in the same year 100-fold. And the Lord blessed him. Go back to verse 1. What does it say in verse 1? There was a famine in the land. God blessed Isaac in spite or despite the famine. Now look, what if Isaac had gone to Egypt? I come back to this because it just was amazing to me when I realized what happened with Naomi and Ruth. Remember? And Naomi and her husband moved. They left because there was a famine. And they went over to Jordan and to Moab. And then, you know, lots of stuff happened over there. And Naomi and Ruth returned. And what did they find? They found that Boaz stayed. Boaz was profiting. Boaz was thriving. Why? Because he didn't run away. Because he didn't quit. Because he didn't give up. Because he endured the hard times. Guys, we got to learn to endure the hard times in our marriage. By the way, it'd be better if we don't have hard times in our marriage. But the reality is sometimes it's strained. We got to not give up on our children, not give up on our family, not give up on those around us, our friends. We got to love them. Now, look, if they're dragging you down, you got to make some space. But God said, don't leave. So Isaac stays there in Gerar. He thrives hundredfold. He's blessed beyond measure, beyond his expectation, beyond his wildest dreams. He waxed great, the Bible says in verse 13. And he went forward and grew until he became very great. Man, it just, everything was going great for him. What would have happened if he'd have gone to Egypt? Not that. Not that. Why? Because God said, if you stay here, I'll bless you. If you'll stay here, I'll bless you. Now, if you give up, quit, and run away, and go look for hope somewhere else instead of looking for hope in me, it won't come out the same way. So Isaac stayed. Isaac trusted God. Isaac trusted God's plan. And what happened? God showed out. By the way, he was so profitable. Look at verse 14. He had possession of flocks, possession of herds, and great store of servants, and the Philistines envied him. He was doing so well that it made the other people jealous. And we all know that can cause trouble. He was doing so well, noticeably beyond others, that they were jealous. And more than that, they were afraid. They said, he's getting so big, he's going to take over. He's getting so big, he's growing so much, he's going to take over our land. And he's going to have the money to buy us out. And he's going to have the power and the manpower to run us off our land. And so they were afraid. And so what did they do? They said, get out of here. The king came to him and said, get out of here. In verse number 16, Abimelech said to Isaac, go from us. Thou art much mightier than we. Jealousy. How many of you have ever been negatively affected at work or in any place where you were, any group you were part of, because of jealousy? It's dangerous. Or fear. Jealousy. Envious. Because God's blessing you. That, you know, you follow God, you're going to have God's blessings. Did Isaac go through the famine? He did. He suffered just like everybody else did. But on the other side, God brought him out. And he used Isaac to bring the others out. Isn't that something? We don't look at that. It doesn't say that here. But if he was profiting, if he was growing, if he was increasing, that means he had the stuff to sell. He had the stuff to trade. He had the stuff to give. He was in a better position because of the way God blessed him. One of the problems that the Philistines faced is that they didn't like Abraham. And so when they had the opportunity, they covered the wells, the springs that he had dug up. They filled them with earth. They closed them up. Now, you tell me, how do you think that would affect your cattle and your crop and your land? Why did they do it? Just because they didn't like Abraham and Abraham dug them. You ever get mad at somebody and you think it's a bad idea just because it was their idea? You say, well, if they thought of it, it can't be a good idea. Because that's what the Philistines did. Was it a good idea? Sure it was. Why did they not like it? Because it came from Abraham. Now, we got to be careful about that. We have got to be careful. Whether it's a politician, whether it's an official, whether it's somebody at work, whether they're a supervisor or whether we're over them in the business, whatever. If it's kids, whoever it is, just because it was their idea, don't dismiss it. Say, well, they never know what they're talking about. Everything they think of is wrong. No, at least let's explore it. They defeated themselves just because they didn't like Abraham. But here's what Isaac did. Isaac says, I'm going to go back where Dad was. I'm going to walk in the steps my dad walked. I'm going to go where he was, and I'm going to do what he did. Why? Because he saw that his father was blessed. He received this promise from God, And now Isaac receives that same promise for God with this, because of your father. So Isaac says, let me go where my father went. Look at what it says in verse number 18. Isaac digged again the wells of water which they digged in the days of Abraham his father. For the Philistines had stopped them after the death of Abraham, and he called their names after the names by which his father had called them. You notice how we're changing everything? Changing history, changing what we call things, changing our protocols, changing what we believe is crazy or mental illness and what's normal. Has normal changed? Has normal changed? The definition has sure changed, hasn't it? The world is upside down. We're trying to change everything. I say we are, they are. I like to call it like Dad called it. My dad wasn't perfect, but that generation, look back. We'd have done a lot better if we'd have paid more attention to those that went on before us. And Isaac says, I'm going to go back where Dad went, and I'm going to call them by the names Dad called them. It says in verse number 19, Isaac's servants digged in the valley, and there a well of springing water. Wow, don't you think they danced and shouted? Don't you think they were happy? In a land where they had just come out of a famine and they're doing so well and everything's great. Man, they're excited. But the herdman, verse 20 of Gerar, did strive with Isaac's herdman and said, the water is ours. No. Y'all clogged it up. You didn't even want the water. Now that the water's coming out, now that I've done the work, you want the benefit. Y'all know anybody like that? Don't point, but do you know anybody like that? I did the work, you want the benefit. And that's what Isaac was up against. And so he dug a well for his people, for his cattle, for his herds. The water comes out, and now these people of Gerar say, that's ours. And so he names it strife or contention. The word used there is esek in verse 20. He named it esek because they strove with him. So what did he do? He let the water flow and he moved on to another place. Hey, you notice he didn't throw a hand grenade back and blow it up just because he wasn't going to use it. Guys, we do good in our lives. Just because we're no longer benefiting from it doesn't mean we got to tear it down. We can move on and leave a legacy and leave an impact and make it, leave some memories of who we are behind us. We don't have to tear it down just because we're moving on. And so he moves on. He finds another one. They dug another well, verse 21. The Bible says they strove for that one also. He called the name of that one Sitna, which is to say hatred. They wanted to fight. Every time he accomplished something, somebody else was there to collect it. So what did Isaac do? He moved on. He went somewhere else and he dug another well. Verse number 22, and for that they didn't strive. And he called the name of it Rehoboth, which is enlargement. In other words, now there's enough room for everybody. I found a place where I can fit in. I found a place where I can grow. Let me ask you a question. Have you found a place where you can grow? Have you found a place where you can expand your faith and expand your understanding and expand your ministry? Where you can touch lives and make a difference? Are you there in your life now? Hey, look, all of us in our lives have come through contention and maybe even through some hatred. We've been through the famines and the trials, and we've been in the struggle of having invested so much for somebody else to benefit. But have we found a place now in our lives where there's room for us and them? Isn't it incredible how much room there is here for all of us? There's room here for different backgrounds. There's room here from different ideas and educations and all those things, and yet we can come together and sit with God's Word and open God's Word and grow together. Here we can grow together. We're not fighting over it. We're not struggling over it. No strife, no contention. You see, he dug up another well, that final well he dug, and there was no aggravation. How many of you have reached that place in your life where there's no aggravation? I don't think we're there yet. You know, that's called hope. Means we'll get there, right? We keep working on it. But the most important thing to realize is that God can use us where we are. We don't have to go to Egypt. We don't have to move away. We don't have to go in search of hope. Hope is here. We all have hard times. Hard times will come. And we're in the midst today, guys. I'm telling you, it's going to get tight. It's going to get tough. We need to trust God in our troubles. We need to trust God. Not run from troubles, not run from hardships, not avoid the fights, but face it. Have the confrontation, have the conversation. Deal with it. Don't kick it down the road. Don't push it away. You see, on his way to blessing, Isaac faced some critics, didn't he? He faced some contention. He faced some hatred. He faced the enemy. But finally, he got to the point where it was big enough for everybody. There was enough room for everybody. And so we got to keep our faith until we reach the place, well, and even when we reach the place of blessing, we've got to keep our faith. Don't get the idea that salvation means there's no more troubles. Salvation means Jesus is going to walk with us through our troubles. That's the lesson he teaches us. Let's stand this morning. If you're here this morning and you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, we've talked about it and we'll say it again. Now's the time. You don't have to walk the aisle. You can pray where you are. Right where you are, from your heart to God's heart, you can say, God, I put my faith in you. I know I'm a sinner. I confess my sin. I trust Jesus Christ as my Savior and ask you to forgive me and save my soul. Would you pray and ask God's forgiveness this morning? Would you trust Him to forgive you? Struggles will come. The trials will come. But stay where God puts you until God says it's time to go. God, we love you. Thank you for this time that we've shared this morning. We pray that you will draw us to you. God, that you will help us to work through the bitterness and the contention and the strife that is about us, the aggravation, the anxiety all around us. But God, we put our faith in you. In Jesus' name, amen. The altar's open if you want to come and kneel and pray. Or you can pray where you are. This is your opportunity. Would you come? God, save me. I trust you. I surrender to you. I give my life to you, God. This is your opportunity. Is there anyone else? This is your opportunity. All right. Anything before we're dismissed? Glad you are here today. And hope you'll come back again real soon. Don't forget tonight, 6 o'clock. Wednesday night, 7 o'clock. Tonight is our monthly business meeting. And invite you to be a part of that conversation. It'll follow our regular service at 6 o'clock. Okay, let's go to the Lord and dismiss a prayer. I'm going to ask Brother Andy if you would dismiss us.